Lab.
Homo
Lab. So hello.
Hiya, it's Homo Lab. We're the queers in your ears.
Hello. Amy's busy researching KD Lang. More on that breaking news later. We're breaking KD Lang news for you on Homo Lab today.
Yeah, this is Homo Lab 59.
And Balin is,
yes.
if you're sounding a bit laconic, if you're sounding a bit laid back, a bit like, you know, kind of, wow, a bit woozy,
yes.
It's because Balin is high on tramadol. Now, last week, Balin, you were making fun of me for my cocodamol come down.
Yeah.
I was practically crying into my coffee. And now today, you are on not just cocodamol, Balin, but you're on like something much, much stronger than cocodamol.
Yes, morphine. It's called morphine, is what I'm
Why?
On. Well, I may have broken my big toe, Amy. I definitely broke my big toe.
A gym related incident.
This is the gayest injury I have ever heard of.
I know. Well, I mean, the thing is, right, is that I didn't just break it, I broke it lengthwise down the middle.
Can you do that?
Apparently you can. And you know, it pains me to even say it. I try not to think about what's actually happened. But no, I would like to point out that this wasn't my weight that I dropped. This was someone else's weight that they had left on the machine that I was having to remove, that I dropped on my toe. So technically speaking, I've not done anything.
Are you going to sue?
I'm making him. I am forcing him to sue.
I am talking to someone.
Call his union, and we probably shouldn't say anymore.
It was a 10 kilogram weight that fell from a height directly onto my big toe. And you know, the thing was, when you do something like that, you're kind of like, oh my god.
Yeah, you see stars.
But then you think, okay, well, maybe this pain will pass. You know?
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm still going to work out.
You didn't, Balin.
So I tried to work out, just to try and take my mind off of it and try not think about it. And then about 2 minutes later, I was like, no, this is...
Balin, I wish I could say this was the first gym-related accident that you've had.
Yeah, I wish you could say that as well.
Oh, you on cocodamol last week. He's on tramadol this week. Next week, I'm going to be on ketamine. Just so.
Hooray! Did you see that Drugs Live show, by the way, where they everybody took MDMA on Channel 4?
I couldn't watch it because I was high on tramadol. So I couldn't really focus on it.
Was it good? I watched all the tweets. I was out, but I saw all the tweets. Lots of people were tweeting
a
about
lot
it.
Of tweets, but it was dreadfully put
was
together.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, it was
yeah.
a bit of a mess.
Wasn't Keith Allen on it?
Keith Allen was very entertaining.
Yeah, who was best on E?
I'd say Keith Allen.
Best
yeah.
Who was worst on E? Our drug awards. Who is worst on E? Who is best on E? Best on tramadol goes to Balin.
I don't know. Yeah, best on tramadol definitely goes to Balin. I don't know. I mean, I think the experiment was interesting, but it didn't really.
Pretty.
It wasn't really coherent or cohesive in any way. Okay. It was just like, oh my god, people are taking drugs on television. Brilliant.
Do you know the thing? The worrying thing is that I do feel lightheaded and quite spacey, but I haven't actually taken tramadol today because I'm trying to wean myself. I mean, I am on.
He's addicted.
I am on two other drugs.
Well, you promised me some last week because my foot's still hurting me.
But no, because this is the first day that I've been out and about in the real world. Like, you know, with my crutches, conquering my fears on public transport. And I did take, like, loads of pain medication, but I thought, you know, I've got to go do a radio show in a bit. And I thought,
yeah,
probably shouldn't do morphine
Balin.
Before I broadcast to the nation. Yeah.
You look a bit wiggy.
No, I feel wiggy. I do feel wiggy because I am on one light opiate. It's
right.
Just not tramadol.
Right. Okay. Wow. Well, he's things. Balin Leonard.
Yeah,
that's Lucio.
And that's Amy LeMay. And I've been looking after Balin particularly well.
You have
week.
Not.
He's
you
been
liar.
Shit.
Brilliant. Do you know what the thing is?
No, I phoned you yesterday. I said, you need to go and get him a little bootie to wear on his foot. And you were like, oh, he can go to the doctor and get that himself.
I went and got his crutches.
He
I was the one
crutches.
That made him go to A&E.
His bedside manner is absolutely shocking.
The thing is with Balin, right, you give him lots of advice. He takes none of it. So I had to look up online what's good for a broken bone. So take lots of calcium, have vitamin K, avoid caffeine, avoid sugar. What drink does he go and ask me to get him?
What?
Avoid caffeine, avoid sugar. Balin wants a Coca-Cola. There he is with his Coca-Cola, which is 100% caffeine
yeah,
and
but
sugar. Does he ask for a hot milk? No, that would be a nice way of getting some
this
calcium.
This vitamin K and, you know, calcium supplements, are they just going to magically appear? Somebody needs to get them for me, don't they?
Write me a list.
Oh, you've got a list, believe
okay.
me. The first one is pack your shit.
Oh my god, Balin and Lucio are breaking up live on Homo Lab. Brilliant.
You know what, like, on the...
Fuck the Katie Lang breaking news.
I wish. You know, I'd just been to A&E and, you know, gotten all my tramadol and... all of that sort of stuff and need to be looked after a little bit. And on Saturday night, what does Lucio do?
Oh, he came to Ducky.
Yeah, and then he was out till 8 a.m.
Yeah.
A Saturday night.
Can I just say something, Balin? The thing about Italian boys is that they are so mollycoddled when they're brought up.
Yes.
When they become adults, they are completely incapacitated and unable to do anything for themselves because their mothers do everything for them.
That you is said crazy.
A word no, I'll tell you what, I was raised as a flippin' indentured servant while my brother sat around twiddling his thumbs and watching
pornography. You should come round and look after Balin.
I could.
Yeah, she did it.
Do you know what? You hit the nail on the head there. You really did.
Exactly.
You know, I've had
blame his mother.
I've had to do the washing up. I've had to do the washing up.
Blame his mother.
Blame his mother. she blames herself as well. She's apologized to me many times. But listen, aside from all that, we got loads coming up. It's not just about my big broken toe.
It is quite a lot about his big broken toe.
I think we should do the Heidi Lang breaking.
But
we're saving that for the news. We've got news coming up. Yeah. We're going to hear about Pussy Riot. We're going to hear about a 6-year-old boy who's kind of proclaiming his love for another little boy, which is very sweet.
As long as he doesn't want to do that in Northern Ireland, and I'll.
Yeah,
and we've got news on that as well.
And
we've got our big star interview as well.
Big star interview. I'll tell you what, I was so pleased to chat to this lovely, lovely guy. His name is David Roberts, and he is a children's book illustrator. And how do I know David? I know him through Ducky, really, is how I got to know him. But over the years, I've bought pretty much all of his books for my nieces and nephews, and for myself, actually, because they're so beautiful. What David does is, he started out as a fashion illustrator, but I think his take on illustration is just a little bit too quirky for the fashion world, which means that all of us benefit from it, a much wider audience. And his new book is just out. It is a reinterpretation and an illustration of the children's classic Wind in the Willows. So I started by asking David how he got involved in illustrating this book.
It was actually given to me. I met it on a very wet and cold day in November up in Aberdeen. I met the publisher from Helen Mortimer from OUP, and she just said to me, would you like to do a children's classic? And I thought, well, yes, I would, please. she said, do you have any in mind? And I thought, well, I mean, I could obviously think of things that I would love to do, but I said, well, no, whatever you would think I could do. And I would never have chosen Wind in the Willows.
Why not?
Because I had never read the story before I came to illustrate it. And I was aware of it, but I don't know. It wouldn't have occurred to me that I could do Wind in the Willows. It wouldn't have been like my choice. So it was interesting when they came to me and said, We've got an idea. Would you like to do Wind in the Willows? And instantly I thought, oh, okay. Yeah, let's give that a go. And then I absolutely loved it.
It's quite a gay story as well, in a funny little way, for a children's book.
Yes. It's funny because, I don't know what Kenneth Graham was intending when he wrote it. I'm sure he never had an intention to turn it into a love affair between Ratty and Mel. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But as soon as you start reading it, and the first opening chapter is about the Mel cleaning his house, and he gets so fed up, and he wants something new in his life, and he throws down his duster, and off he goes, and he sees the rat, and instantly, I think it's a love affair from that moment on. The pair of them fall in love with each other as friends, and they deeply care for each other, and maybe that's from my point of view, I'm reading that into it, but I don't know. I like to see the Ratty and Mel as going off on their little life together because Mel moves in with Rat and he never leaves.
Yeah.
And then he's sort of...
Oh, I know lesbian relationships like that as well.
He sort of like has this moment which is so touching where he remembers his home and something's missing in his life, and he gets a sniff of it on the air. And Rat is so sort of sensible and practical, and he's saying, no, we need to get home, it's snowing, you know, the weather's awful. And then the Mel breaks down. And in that moment, it's so touching when Rat puts his arm on Mel's shoulder and says, "Oh, I've been such a pig." And he says, "Come on, let's go." And they go back to Mel's little house and spend the night there. Drinking beer and eating German sausage.
Oh, so it looks like in the book that you had a lot of fun illustrating it as well. And I know with your other books, you know, you've taken other children's classics like, you know, Cinderella, Rapunzel, and kind of given them your own twist. And you seem to be really inspired by fashion and also particular eras.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about this one.
Well, I was determined that I wasn't going to deviate from the period. It's set in, it was written in 1908, and I wanted to be true to that sort of arts and craft, Art Nouveau style that would have been around then. But I also didn't want to do sort of a direct rendition of pieces from that time. I wanted to sort of be inspired by the period. And I looked deeply into Art Nouveau and different sort of painters that would have been around at the time. And one that stood out to me was Gustav Klimt and his use of shapes in his art, swirls and circles and triangles, and just breaking down those shapes. And I decided to have the book sort of very heavily patterned by sort of their homes are wallpapered in sort of triangular patterns and angular shapes, which have come from looking at those pieces of art. You might not actually, people might say, oh, well, you wouldn't get wallpaper like that in 1908. But what I've done is I've interpreted things and given myself a sort of background that I can look into and take elements from. And that's what I really enjoyed doing this. It was being able to, given the freedom, really, to not try and modernise it. I didn't want to modernise it, but to try and sort of bring something different to it than had been done before. So I chose to use very bright colours, for instance, and, you know, very bold patterns, which hopefully complement that period.
Yeah, the book is absolutely gorgeous. It's so lush.
Thank you.
What is next then? You've done so many children's classics. You've created Dirty Birdie.
Oh yeah.
What is next for David Roberts? You've worked with so many greats and you know, authors and things.
I'm just carrying on. I'm hoping people keep sending me the texts because I don't write my own stories. Apart from Dirty Bertie, I enjoy being let into somebody else's imagination. So I'm enjoying being given really exciting texts to work on, and I've got some great ones lined up. I'm very keen to do another classic, and I've got one in mind, which I'd love to have a go at, which is The Wizard of Oz. I'd love to try my hand at that. Plus, I like green. I like painting in green, and there's lots of green in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the Emerald City.
Yeah. Also, there always seems to be little pop references in lot of your work, you know? Like, I'm thinking about Rapunzel, and she's like, she lives in a tower block, and she's got all of her records out, and it's set in the 70s, and she's listening to Kate Bush and David Bowie, and like the, you know, you actually drawn the album covers.
Yes.
If there was a pop star that was going to write a children's book.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Who would it be? Who would you just, I mean, Madonna's done it, hasn't she?
But I'd love to see what sort of book Kate Bush would come up with for a child. That would be great. I'd love to do that. But also, I had a real thing for Tracy Ullman when she was a pop star in the early 1980s. She's, you know, I'd love to see what she could come up with. That would be interesting to work with her. That would be fun. And can you imagine Joni Mitchell's children's
book? Oh my God. that would be so great. Twisted.
That would be good. I could imagine, you know, that would be atmospheric, definitely. And of course, you know, the great Morrissey.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine a children's book from Morrissey.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I think, you know.
There'd be lots of cats in it, I think.
There would. It would be, maybe it would just be somebody living on their own with cats.
Like about him. Yeah. Oh, thanks so much, David.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
That was the children's illustrator David Roberts talking about his experiences in illustrating the new version of Wind in the Willows, which is out now, published by Oxford University Press. And if you aren't familiar with David's work as of yet, I urge you. I mean, Christmas is coming up. We've all got, you know, little ones to buy presents for. It's so beautiful.
Is there stuff on Google? Do you want to have a quick look now?
Yeah, there's, for what?
Like, if people listening want to have a quick look at his work, could they Google it? Is there stuff on there?
Yeah, David Roberts, yeah. Or, like, look it up on Amazon or whatever. But he's got, his version of Rapunzel is particularly beautiful because he set it in a 70s tower block in South London. And when Rapunzel lets her hair down, it's amazing. He's got a gorgeous Art Deco version of, I think it's Cinderella. Okay. And he created, I think I mentioned, he created the Dirty Birdie series and stuff. So
the new one's Wind in the Willows, which I don't, well, for people of my generation that kind of grew up with children's BBC, has always had a gay twist because, of course, Kenneth Williams used to do the narration of it, which is fantastic.
I love children's books because I think that they can sum up in kind of, you know, 10 really thick cardboard pages with like 40 count. They can
and
sum
pop-ups.
Up. Yeah, they can sum up the entire self-help book section. A bookstore, like in just a few simple lines and beautiful illustrations. So I love children's books.
Well, shall we have some news? Because I think we should maybe send a copy of Wind in the Willows to that chap there in your news story.
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab.
So time for some news from our friends at Gay Star News. Now, we're going to start off with this. A supportive mom has written about her 6-year-old son who told her that he was in love with another boy. Now, she's an American blogger. She has 3 children, and she uses, obviously, fake names for all 3 of her children. And she recently wrote, "A few days ago, Twirl revealed that he was in love with another boy. He said, 'Mummy, do you know who I'm in love with?' CJ. And I said, 'Oh, are you?' And he says, 'Yes, I've been in love with him since the day that I first saw him in the playground.' And Twirl had a big grin on his face and was almost squeezing his knees in excitement." Now, she went on to kind of, you know, not judge this in any way and kind of support him for being who he is. And she says, you know, at 6 years old, being gay does not equal sex, and that's what people need to remember. You know, this isn't about a sexual thing that he's feeling. This is about something else. So she says, "I do know that my kids are brutally honest. They're not shy about saying what is on their mind, and Twirl is telling us how he feels and is comfortable doing so because he knows that we love him. We love all of him." And that she said she's not going to box her son into a category so early in life. And then apparently Twirl went on to say that he actually has a crush on Carter as well. So he has, he's got 2 boys that he's got his eye on. And she says that she thinks that's great that he's keeping his options open. Now, what do you say about this? What do you feel about this? There's been a few incidents of there's been several blog
about one like quite early on in Homo Lab.
Yeah, we're very young children, you know, profess to be one thing or the other, or the very young boys like to wear dresses. And there was the one about the straight dad who wore a skirt with his son so that he didn't feel weird. It pushes a lot of buttons, this, isn't it? Because as they point out there, a lot of people think gay equals sex. So a lot of people are saying, well, this is the sexualization of children, and actually that's not what it's about at all.
I think when, you know, like young kids, he'll probably grow up straight, won't he? I don't think it's even a relation to what his sexuality will be later on. I don't know. Do you have a sexuality when you're that age? I don't think you do. I think you can get infatuated with people when you're young and you know, you like so-and-so because they're really good at football or running fast, or, you know, you just like their company or whatever. And I think that, you know, young kids always say that they love or they want to marry somebody, or, you know, like their sister or their, you know, next door neighbor or whatever. It doesn't kind of mean anything. It's just part of growing up, isn't it?
Do you know, what do you think, Amy?
I think it's a really lovely story, and I think it's a testament to the parents that they actually think that that's really normal, good thing to express.
Yeah, I think it says much more about the parents.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, and you know, it's not. I don't think it's due to the overt sexualization of children, because you're right. At that age, it doesn't equal sex. It means love, because the kind of love that they're experiencing at that age is a parental love, which is, you know, a very different kind of love. I just think it's wonderful. I happen to know a family who has a son who's 5, who wears nothing but princess outfits. And I see him around with his mum and dad wearing tiaras. I've bumped into him in the local supermarket, and he is clutching all the Disney princess magazines. I've seen him wandering around wearing a pink cape.
And oh, fantastic.
His parents are amazing. And they're like, we just want him to express himself. And he has said that, you know, he feels very strongly about other boys and things. But, you know, at that age... And this is what his parents say, is that we just don't want to box him in. We don't want him to think that it's bad in any way. And he was going to school this year because he's 5. And they actually had a meeting with the teacher before they went, and they said, this is how we treat him at home. And we don't want him to be chastised or, you know, be told that it's wrong to do this in school, because we think it's really important that he is able to just grow up normally, naturally, in whatever way suits him. And I think that that's incredible. I think that we would have never, ever seen this kind of behavior, you know, a generation ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think that ultimately what this boils down to actually kind of, it's human nature before you learn all of the things that you are supposed to know in society. You know, it's someone loving someone for something other than their sex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's this little boy just loving another little boy because he loves that little boy, not necessarily because he shouldn't be or he should be.
Yeah.
Or, you know, isn't that what human nature should be?
I want to play devil's advocate here. Our great friend David Mills does a sketch in his show, the show that he did in Edinburgh, where he says that, you know, all kids coming out at school is going to be the end of gay, because mm-hmm. you need that kind of repression in your life in order to kind of fight against society and to kind of really be who you are. And, you know, what's allowed to dress as princesses when they're 5. Yeah.
Time will tell. I think we'll have to wait for a few generations before homosexuality kills itself off.
We would love to know.
It could be the end of us.
We would love to know what you think about this story, one way or the other. You must have an opinion about this. We are on Twitter. We are at Homolab.
Well, whatever happens to Twirl, I hope he doesn't want to get married to his best friend in Northern Ireland, because a motion calling for same-sex couples to be given the right to marry in Northern Ireland has been defeated in the Stormont Assembly. The motion was proposed by Sinn Féin and the Green Party, but it was defeated after most of the unionists voted against. In fact, only 3 unionists voted for the motion. It was rejected by 45 votes to 50. And the Alliance Party, who are kind of the cross community party, they're equivalent to the Liberal Democrats in Northern Ireland. Most of their members, 10 of their members, failed to show up for the vote. It wouldn't have been carried anyway, because in order to pass legislation in Northern Ireland, you need to carry a majority of both communities. So it would have failed even if the 45-50 vote had swung slightly in our favour. But Northern Ireland, the first place in the UK to vote against equal marriage.
It's funny, because Northern Ireland actually had the first civil partnership.
Oh, yeah, so they did.
Didn't they?
Yeah,
they're
lesbians.
They're two lesbians. Yeah. Don't you remember?
Yeah, I do now that
That's
you've
just
said it. Yeah.
Bizarre.
But then in the 80s, in the early 80s, Ian Paisley ran the whole, was it keep sodomy out of Ulster?
Yeah.
Keep sodomy out of Ulster.
I'm sure he was doing inspections himself. Just to make
no
sure.
No surrender.
Oh,
so, So maybe you have to elope to Scotland. Looks like Scotland's going to be the first place to...
Do you know, they would be so smart for Scotland to be the first place. Gretna Green, I mean, they could totally remake... I mean, because that's where everybody went to get married,
Gretna
Green. If you could go to Gretna Green and get gay married, the tourist industry around that would just be absolutely amazing. Everybody would go to Gretna Green.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're in Gretna Green and, you know, you're hoping to bump up the town's profits, get on board gay marriage.
Go gay in Gretna Green.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're like, this is our one hope.
And let's face it, once they devolve and go it alone, they're going to need something to keep the economy afloat.
Oh, independence now! I'm kind of pro-Scottish independence.
Like, are you? Good. Oh, yes. You go up there and live up there then when they decide to separate.
I think Scotland would be a great... I think Scotland, it would have the confidence, it's got the resources, and I think that...
It's going to be great when the BBC pulls out.
Yeah.
Well, but you say the BBC pulls out. The Scottish people have paid for their part of the BBC since the BBC was formed. They've paid for the NHS since it was formed. They've paid for their army since it was formed. And
stop banging the table.
And on top of that, they have the nuclear deterrent based in Scotland. The nuclear submarine fleet is based in Scotland. If they want to kick out the nuclear submarine fleet, then because of the non-proliferation treaty, the rest of the UK can't have nuclear weapons because we can't move.
Okay, Lucha.
So there we go. That is the reason.
Can I bring in my breaking Katie?
Yeah, thank you.
Now.
Because Lucha's been listening to his Uncle Tony far too much.
Yeah. Obviously. Okay. Go on.
The
finish,
only reason
finish.
You don't want Scottish independence is because it make it hard for Labour to get a majority in the rest of the UK, and I think that is not true.
Okay.
Lucha is very pro Scotland. You notice he's never lived there.
Yeah.
And won't live there.
No, but
why would you?
Half my family's from Scotland. I spent more time in Scotland than any other country apart from England. And I genuinely think that a lot of the problems in Scotland could be solved if they went independent.
I think none of the problems could be solved if they were independent.
Really?
They've got brilliant things already. How is that going to be improved by going independent?
Because they'll have to stand on their own feet.
Outside of Glasgow and Edinburgh? How are the Outer Hebrides going to stand on their own feet?
They're pretty self-sufficient. The biggest problems are in the Central Belt, or in places like Glasgow and Edinburgh with high unemployment. The rest of the country kind of does all right. And I think that if it was independent, if it had to solve those problems, I genuinely believe that Scotland would be able to. And I think that it could be a kind of a beacon of social democracy in action.
I think it's very backwards thinking, because we're living in an increasingly globalized world. To reduce something down to a teeny tiny little country that I think would regret it in the long run.
But I think that Scotland, that Catalonia, I think all those places could stand independent. I think the nation state is what's running out of steam. Anyway,
wow. If you have an opinion on whether Scotland should be independent or not, who knew that we would be covering this? But I'm very glad that you two have a very strong stance on opposite sides of this discussion. But what do you think, especially if you're Scottish? We're on Twitter at Homolab. Amy, take us away from Scotland,
Katie Lang, please.
Yes, I'll tell you what. Firstly, I'm going to give you a little tidbit of news from our friends at gaystarnews.com. Just a little reminder that Black History Month has started for the entire month of October.
Yes, it has.
It's in its 25th year, and Gay Star News are doing a special series for the whole month, and they are exploring the lives of Black LGBT people worldwide, from Europe to America, Africa to the Pacific, Caribbean to Asia, and everywhere in between. So make sure you check out gaystarnews.com for all of the Black History Month celebrations marking its 25th year.
Excellent.
Now, on...
Now the hot topic.
There are even Black people in Scotland. Amazing.
Yeah. Of course there are.
I'm just winding you up. Okay, this is the breaking news that you've all been waiting for.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
Katie Lang is officially undomesticated from her domestic partner.
Oh, no. How long were they together
Watch
for?
Watch out, ladies.
Yeah. Hi to daughters.
They were together, 2-year civil partnership.
Right,
partnership.
Okay.
But I think they were together much longer
before
than
that. Yeah.
You know, I think they met back in 2003. Through their Buddhist teacher.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
They registered for a domestic partnership in 2009.
Excellent.
And Katie is back on the market. The judgment was entered last week in California, actually. And according to the settlement agreement, both sides have waived rights to kind of like schnacking in on each other's stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know who got the cat, but Katie definitely takes all that's hers, like her earnings, her car, her jewelry, her houses, her record collection, all of her equipment,
right.
Her holiday homes.
Dungarees, everything.
Yes. And
her shaving
Jamie. Yeah. The signed.
Can this get any more offensive?
No, he's referring to the cover of Vanity Fair.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's a reference.
The infamous cover.
Yeah, with
that's
Cindy,
like a lesbian
Crawford.
Reference.
I don't read Vanity Fair.
Who didn't see that cover where Katie Lang...
Everybody saw that cover except for Lucia.
Okay. Anyway, Jamie is taking what's hers, which is
What did Jamie basically. Do?
I don't know. I think,
I wonder what she did.
I don't
living.
Know. To be honest, I think being Katie Lang's girlfriend is like
was
pretty
plenty.
Much good
now,
enough.
You saw Katie Lang. It was last year because we were doing Homo Lab, and as I recall, you were going to see Katie Lang at the BBC, and you forced us to sit on the church steps outside the BBC, across from the entrance, just in case Katie Lang was coming in with Morrissey. For some reason, you'd convinced yourself. That Katie Lang was coming in with Morris. Yeah, that didn't happen, as I recall. As I recall, we sat outside
we literally
recording
did.
Homo Lab for no reason. But anyway, that's
just
fine.
In case, on the off chance.
So is that our gay star news?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, what we should also talk about is, which we haven't talked about this week, and it's kind of a story that broke at
what?
The end of last week, was
what?
The Hong Kong girl.
Oh, yes. Oh
whose
my gosh, we didn't.
Has
yes.
Offered.
Oh yeah.
Was it how much was it?
Yes, it was $60 million.
Wow.
Lucci, I'm really glad that you brought that up because we actually have a clip from the interview that she did with the BBC World Service.
Yeah, and she's actually quite cool about it.
Well, I was quite entertained by it actually.
Entertained? What about offended?
No, I wasn't offended at all. At first, I was just sort of thought he was half joking about it, and as he became more serious and kept repeating the offer, I felt very moved and very touched that he would go to such extraordinary lengths to express his fatherly love for me.
So she says she's not angry at her dad, which I find just bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, I'm entering this contest. I am entering this contest.
But, you know, I just think it's so
brilliant
that her dad just wants her to find a man that loves her for her money instead of herself. You know, I'm also so bolstered by the idea that women's sexuality yet again is being put up at a particular price. You know, it's all available to buy. That's all you need to know.
60 million, that's a lot of money.
She should just hook, you know, with her best gay friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they're both laughing for life, although she's probably fine as it is. But
did you see the picture of her and her partner? She's adorable.
She is adorable.
Absolutely adorable,
yeah.
With little dicky bow tie and everything. I think, you know, what more do you want? She said, oh, my father thinks that I deserve more in life. Like what? A cock?
Yeah.
You know, that's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, a cock that doesn't show up at your house in a velvet bag.
Yeah.
is all that her father wants for her. Well, there you go.
Ho Mo
Lab.
Ho Mo
Lab. Pay As You Gym is the new flexible way to access over 300 gyms in the UK with no commitments and no sign-up fees. We're offering you, listeners of Homo Lab, a free pass worth up to £15 to access a gym near you. Just go to payasyougym.com/homolab. Pay As You Gym is simple and easy to use. You only pay when you go. That's it. So why not get started today? And as an extra benefit for you, you can take a friend along with you for your first visit. Absolutely free. Go to payasyougym.com/homolab.
Homo.
Lab.
Homo.
Lab.
Thanks to all of our new followers on Twitter. We are at Homolab, and you are at ProudToBeOut.org. You are at Top of Bottom. Sounds interesting. At Wendy Burke 1 and at Wandering Trader. Thank you very much for following us.
We have at JBG News. That's literally how it's spelled. JBG News. Lee Bowery, Alan Gillespie, Andy Woodfield, who's quite hard. Check out Andy there. Also, Bino, Eclectic Bino, T.O., and something that I just can't pronounce. That's literally a load of consonants. Thank you very much.
So that's us. We will be back with you next week. I was going to say who we have on the show next week, but I can't actually remember. So it'll
just
be
say Johnny Woo.
It'll be a surprise.
It's not Johnny Woo. Johnny was meant to be with us last week.
Johnny
Woo was meant to be with us this
refuses
week.
Refuses to show up for Homo Lab, but that's fine. But yeah, so have
no,
a...
No, who is it next week?
It'll be a surprise. Just tune in next week and it'll be a massive surprise.
Oh, no. I remember now.
Who is it?
I'm going to Cardiff to the Iris Prize.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which is amazing. Have you heard about the Iris Prize?
No, tell me about the Iris Prize.
The Iris Prize is this amazing prize for LGBT short films. And
I thought you were about to say short people.
No, and short filmmakers. So, you know, short films. Yeah, you got it. Not teeny tiny films, but like in length. Yeah. And I am hosting the awards lunch in Cardiff next week.
Hurrah!
So I will bring you news from the Iris Prize. It's amazing. £25,000.
Wow. Maybe I should make a short film.
Yeah, to make your new short film. So... what do you want to say, Lucio?
Well, I was just going to say, our friend Nat is making a short film. And he's a gay guy.
Well, Nat needs to put it into next year's competition. Next year's Iris, absolutely. So I'll be bringing you news from the Iris Prize, the winner, the organisers and everything. News from Cardiff in next week's Homo Lab.
Excellent. So listen, have a fantastic week until we meet again next week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go take some
Tramadol. Take some Tramadol now.
Because I'm in so much pain.
Give me this shopping list. Come on. Great bedside manner. What do you want?
Homo
Lab.
Homo
Lab. Homo Lab have teamed up with audible.co.uk to offer you, our listeners, a free audiobook of your choosing. All you have to do is register for a 1-month free trial to claim your free audiobook. There are over 60,000 to choose from. If you're in the UK, you can register at audible.co.uk/homolab. The 30-day free trial means you can choose a free audiobook from sizzling biographies to the latest fiction or even classical works, which is yours to keep whether or not you decide to cancel in the trial period. Register now at audible.co.uk/homolab.